How real is the Cam Ward year two breakout hype? Is he actually poised to take a Drake May level jump under Brian Daboll in this new offense? We're going to break it down today. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the editor-in-chief of Titan Size, the publisher of NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. How you doing on this Tuesday morning?
I'm doing well. Excited to talk about Cam Ward, my favorite topic when talking about the Tennessee Titans. Lots of stuff in the news lately. Obviously, Titans started OTAs yesterday. We got some Cam Ward footage from there. He's going to be featured on Quarterback Season 3 on Netflix this summer, fall, spring, whatever the heck it comes out.
July 14th or June?
Yeah, summer. It's usually a summer thing, if I recall correctly. We've got a clip to respond to about your pals that we're maybe going to take issue with. Lots of Cam Ward news to talk about today. Pro Football Focus as well, giving him some love. So it feels like an appropriate time to jump on this Cam Ward conversation.
July 14th is the date for Quarterback Season 3 premiere. Yeah, I'm very excited to see him. I'm really excited to see what we get to see. You know what I mean? Like, behind the scenes, it doesn't follow him. Obviously, it comes out in July. It follows last season, if you're unaware of how the show works.
Which is the one bummer for me.
Yeah,
I'm interested in watching the Brian Callahan Titans and
well, I'm interested to see how he handles the adversity of, number one, I'm interested to see, like, you know, there's going to be a whole narrative thing in the show about him coming to the facility super early and, like, getting with the other rookies and meeting and going over the offense, etc. All the stuff that we saw, that we heard about him doing. I'm excited to see that in the show. I'm curious how much they're going to show about Brian Callahan coaching Cam Ward, and if it's going to confirm some of the things that we think, that Brian Callahan was a terrible coach who wasn't getting his players ready to play their opponents every week. And the shift, once Mike McCoy took over, I mean, statistically, the shift is eye-opening when you look at Cam Ward's pre-buy numbers and post-buy numbers. He closed the season extremely strong with 10 touchdowns to one interception over, what, the last 7-8 games post-buy? Can't remember the exact number of games there. But I'm just curious to see, like, do we get a reaction to Brian Callahan getting, like how much do they include? Because there are three other quarterbacks that are going to be on the show, so I don't know how much focus necessarily they'll afford to that stuff. But I think it's really interesting. I think it proves two things. Number one, that Cam Ward has at least some level of marketability in the eyes of the Netflix executives who did this. You know, they had to set this up before last season started, obviously, right? It's not like they assessed his rookie year and they were like, oh, let's do a documentary on it. Like, no, they had to shoot this stuff throughout the year. So it's interesting that a year ago he was assessed as being big enough for that show. I mean, he was the number one overall pick, even if he didn't get a lot of coverage. Obviously, we talked about this yesterday, not big enough in the eyes of the NFL to draw a primetime audience. We'll see if that changes at some point this season. But, you know, number one overall pick who didn't get a lot of media attention. It's nice to see that we'll get some media attention in this documentary, which, you know, we're talking about this now. We have a lot to talk about. But anything else about quarterback before I get to my next point here?
No, I'm excited to watch it. I've watched the first two seasons. I've enjoyed them. I never really understand the hate for them. They're fun, you know, and I'm more excited than I've ever been now that, you know, Cam Ward is obviously going to be featured on this coming season. But that's not today's topic. Cam Ward is today's topic. And are you going to go to the Pro Football Focus thing? Because that's the one that jumped out at me.
Well, first, I'll get to that in a second. First, I want to talk about the last time we saw Cam Ward on a football field. He's running into the end zone. He's taking a massive shot from somebody, Jags linebacker, I think, and ends up with the shoulder sprain, the AC joint sprain, with sort of an unknown recovery timeline, unknown really severity. Didn't know if he would be missing the offseason programs that are happening right now. We're still rehabbing from the shoulder injury. Well, we've seen clips of him throwing many times. We've seen him walking around without a sling as recently as like 2 or 3 weeks after that last game with the, you know, when Miami was going on a CFP run through the college football playoff and he was at the games. Yesterday, we get to see real OTA, the first like true OTA Phase 3, the Titans' Instagram posted a series of four throws that Cam Ward made, along with a bunch of pictures and photos, him talking trash. I took all four clips and put them into one video because I feel like that's easier for people to consume. Put it on Twitter. The people love it. You love to see Cam Ward out there throwing balls to Carnell Tate, to Gunnar Helm, and throwing touchdowns to his running backs. He got one to Tony Pollard, one to Tajay Spears. How's Brian Daboll going to deploy these backs in the passing game? That's an interesting question we'll cover at a much later point in time. But nice to see, after the injury and all the uncertainty around it, that he seems to be, I mean, we haven't heard this from anybody, but we haven't not heard it either. He seems to be 100%. He's throwing the ball well. He's throwing it with some zip behind it in some of these throws you saw from yesterday. OTAs are happening. Football is back, and Cam Ward is back and healthy, which is great news to set up the year two breakout, because if he was still rehabbing that shoulder right now, I think we'd all be feeling a different type of way.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, Titans one of eight teams to start OTAs on Monday. It was close to the media, close to fans, obviously. So we were reliant on the Titans social media team getting us a couple of clips and photos and that. And thankfully, they did that. And we see the Cam Ward passes. First one, of course, they know what they're doing. Hitting Carnell Tate in stride is the first one we saw. Big new tight end one in Gunnar Helm. On the second clip, and then the touchdowns to Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. I know these things are kind of silly to assess, but all I'll really say is he looks normal, which is all you can ask for, right? Like, coming off that week 18 shoulder injury, as you mentioned, kind of came with a bit of a wishy-washy timeline on the recovery. So the fact that he's throwing the ball here in mid-May at OTAs, which again, if you're unaware, they're permitted to do 7-on-7 for the first time, 7-on-9, I think 11-on-11 as well, right? Permitted for the first time in this offseason, workout phase. So the fact that Cam Ward's an immediate participant, throwing the football with good zip velocity, indicates, it's full steam ahead, and that's all we could have really asked for.
Yeah, totally. And it looked like to me, I mean, just not trying to break this down too much, but it looked like the Carnell Tate pass and the Tony Pollard pass were on air, sort of walkthrough style. Yeah. But there's definitely defenders on the field for the Gunnar Helm. You can see Gunnar Helm running away from Cedric Gray when he catches that pass. And there's defenders on the field for the Tajay Spears touchdown too. So all very interesting. Again, sets up if there really is going to be this ascension into superstardom in year two, like we saw with Drake May in the Patriots last season. That's the comparison that gets thrown around a lot. The other side of the coin is that it's more Bryce Young-y and less Drake May-y, and we still have questions after year two. You hope he doesn't go down that road. The people at Pro Football Focus don't think he's going to go down the Bryce Young route. They think he's going down the Drake May route. PFF released an article last week, May 13th. Headline, 2026 NFL All Breakout Team, predicting the next great players at every position. And at quarterback, they go with Cam Ward. Here's the blurb. I'll just read it quickly. The 2025 quarterback class wasn't as star-studded as the one prior, but it's already produced three starters with upside going into 2026. Picking any of Ward, Tyler Shook, or Jackson Dart to excel in year two would be valid, but Ward feels like the most logical selection.
Ooh.
Ward's rookie campaign didn't go quite as expected, finishing with a PFF grade, or who cares, more turnover-worthy plays than big-time throws. Yet Ward showed real flashes, including compiling three games with at least a 78.7 overall PFF grade, all in week 12 or later. Plus, Ward's receiving core earned just the 27th best PFF receiving grade last season. The circumstances are now significantly better for the former number one overall pick going into his second season. Ward has two major assets in receiver. At number four selection, Carnell Tate, as well as former Giant Wandale Robinson, who can help attack every area of the field. Add in new offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, and the pieces should be there for Ward's sky-high talent to consistently materialize. That's a great blurb. That's a hype-generating blurb. And I think, we've kind of gone over a lot of these points throughout this offseason. The addition of the playmakers, the addition of Brian Daboll, and a new coaching staff altogether. We've talked a little bit about the reasons why we might not see this come to fruition. Who's playing center? Who's playing right guard? Is it Austin Schlotman and Jackson Slater? That's probably the most likely outcome. Are those guys good enough to give Ward the time he needs to really take a big step forward? There was another stat about, I don't know if you saw this, Justin. It was sacks avoided per dropback, okay. I think was the stat. Cam Ward had the number one sack avoidance rate. He was avoiding more sacks per dropback than any quarterback in football, which shows his ability to navigate pressure and step out of sacks. Now, the other guys on this list were like, I think Jacoby Brissett was like two or three on the list. It's like, I don't know how meaningful this stat is. It wasn't like the best quarterbacks in the league were making up the top of this stat, but it's still nice to see Cam Ward avoiding sacks because that was a big deal coming out of Miami, was that pressure to sack ratio number we talked about. You know, it improved at Miami, but it was not very good at Washington State. It wasn't so good the first half of last year. Improved down the stretch, as did his entire play in every asset of the league. Mina Kimes has been parroting this stat around. Justin, I don't know if you saw it. Cam Ward, 8th best deep ball accuracy rate, 32nd best deep ball completion rate last year. That's a receiver problem. You add Carnell Tate, you add Wandale Robinson, who's not necessarily a deep threat, but was used in that role a bit more last year. Calvin Ridley can obviously win down the field. We saw it in one game, the Arizona game, we saw it last year. So all the pieces are there for Cam Ward to take that next step. He kind of just has to do it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm incredibly confident in him, period. The way that he played football down the stretch last year was incredible. You really saw a rookie quarterback growing in real time, right, post-bye week. And that's despite all the disadvantages the organization put him at, right? Like, I keep trying to think of the best way to word it when I go on radio and stuff, but it's like Brian Callahan is head coach, Brian Callahan is play caller. Brian Callahan is head coach, Bo Hardigree is play caller. Mike McCoy is head coach, Bo Hardigree is play caller. Right? That's three different combinations at head coach and play caller throughout your rookie season is virtually unheard of, right? Like, even the worst of teams typically have two at most, right? Like, to put him with three different combinations, not ideal. The wide receiver depth chart was obviously not good. It was bad. Got way worse when they lost Calvin Ridley to the season-ending injury. Even though he wasn't playing all that well when he was healthy, it was still better to have him than not have him. Obviously, you know, we've touched on how terrible the coaching staff was. Like, to put him at all these disadvantages and for him to finish the year the way he did those last, whatever it was, 6, 7, 8 games, watching him grow in real time, that's exactly what you want to see from a rookie quarterback. The flashes, the upside were through the roof. Coming into this offseason, I have every ounce of confidence that he has every trait from, you know, physical, arm talent, the work ethic, the character to take the step that he needs to take. Love what they've done on the coaching staff, obviously, with Robert Saleh. I think the world of Brian Daboll as an offensive coordinator, just a brilliant offensive mind who can work with a young quarterback and supporting cast in general. And then you look at everything we've said, the wide receiver depth chart, how much they've improved it, not just bringing in, you know, Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson, which obviously are the biggest assets in that room heading into 2026, but also bringing back Calvin Ridley and hoping that Shimmer DK and Elik Ayomanor can grow in year two, 5 deep at the wide receiver position, in my opinion. Huge for Cam Ward. I won't spend too much time on it. The one question, as you said, center and right guard, I'm worried about it. I'll continue to be worried about it. Really hope that that's not, you know, the situation's not bad enough that it derails Cam Ward in the offense. That's the danger. That's the threat there. That's just pure honesty, right? Hoping that that's not the case. TBD, we'll have to see how those guys perform. But I do believe in Cam Ward's ability, as you said, the whole sack avoidance thing. I do think he's very good at maneuvering the pocket, both from a, you know, creative off-platform standpoint, but also just the subtleness too. Like, I think he does a great job stepping up in the pocket when necessary. Just the little things that help you avoid sacks. It doesn't always have to be the roll all the way to the right and hit, you know, Xavier Restrepo or Elik Ayomanor across my body on a Patrick Mahomes-like ball. He can do that too, and you'll take it. But I also think, you know, he's very good with the subtle pocket movement that helps him avoid sacks. So hopefully that helps if the center right guard situation is not as good as we hope it is. But I do truly believe that Cam Ward has everything at his disposal to make that Caleb Williams or Drake May-like sophomore jump.
Yeah, and you hear the way his teammates talk about him. Jeffrey Simmons was on that CBS Sports interview sit-down thing talking about they had to ask him about trash talk with Cam Ward, and you know, during training camp last year, the stuff that went viral. And he talks about the first time he met Cam Ward was at Jelly Roll's bar. Talks about the fishing trip they took and how Cam was bad luck, and whatever boat Cam went to, the fish stopped biting. And you can tell they have a really funny like relationship. But I love that they have this sort of like, it's a mutual respect bond where Jeffrey Simmons looks at Cam Ward and is like, yo, you got to get that side of the ball right. I'm going to get this side of the ball right. That we got these two pillar leaders of the team on either side of the ball. And obviously Jeffrey Simmons has accomplished way more in his NFL career than Cam Ward has. You know, he's been on teams that went on playoff runs. He's was an all pro. He's a four-time pro bowler. Cam Ward's still got to like earn some of those respect accolades, I think. But I think he's on track to do so. And I just love that you have these two guys who are friends off the field, but jawing with each other on the field. And just one guy on each side of the ball that you feel, at least I feel, really confident in their ability to lead their group, to say like, to get their stuff together, to get their act together, to hold people accountable and get the best out of everybody. So I love that that aspect of this too. And you hear Brian Daboll talk about him, you hear Robert Saleh talk about him. Like, obviously these guys in the media aren't going to go badmouth their starting quarterback, but they also go out of their way, I feel like, to be overly praising of his work ethic and things that aren't just coach speak. Oh, we love him. He's amazing. It's like there's specifics about what he's doing in the building, when he's there, who he says hi to, all that kind of stuff.
And if you're worried about that being coach speak, I think I'll add to that. Like two points. Number one, you and I had it on good account way before the Titans hired Robert Saleh that he was interested in this Titans job. Okay. Like when he was not allowed to interview, like he was still working for the 49ers, which is, that's not, you know, breaking any rules. Like he just internally, he had interest in the job once, you know, remember Brian Callahan got fired super early. He knew the job was going to be available heading into the offseason. It was one that he hoped he'd be a candidate for. And the presence of Cam Ward and the way he was playing and the way he played against the 49ers in that late season game against Saleh's defense was a big reason why Saleh was interested in the job. Point number two, Brian Daboll had options when he became available from the New York Giants. Cam Ward's presence was a big reason why Brian Daboll took this job over other opportunities that he could have, you know, potentially, you know, similar opportunities that he could have pursued. And he tried to trade up for him when he was head coach of the New York Giants. He tried to give up the farm to go get Cam Ward. So Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll, if you're worried about coach speak, no, they love Cam Ward. They're excited to be here. He's a big reason why they are here. We're going to take a break, and then we got a bone to pick with Heed the Call.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. All right, welcome back. Justin, you said something there in your last point before we started talking about why Daboll came. You said something about, I have all the confidence in Cam Ward taking that step and becoming that franchise guy for real this year. It's an interesting choice of words you used. All the confidence. Well, if anyone doesn't follow or hasn't seen the episode of Heed the Call that came out overnight Tuesday morning, was the NFL quarterback confidence tiers for the 2026 season. And of course, we talked about Cam Ward. This was today's episode. We recorded it yesterday. We went through all 32 starting quarterbacks and or starting quarterback pairs. You know, some teams we have a slash because we don't know who's going to be the starter. And we sorted them into tiers. The tiers were Can't believe this is my life, LeBron face. Hashtag utmost, as in the utmost confidence. We good with an exclamation point. We good with a question mark. I don't know, man, dot, dot, dot. And wait till next year. So I wasn't really part of the conversation. I was just producing. Dan, Mark, Connor had the conversation. You know, they put the four great quarterbacks of the NFL right now in the can't believe this is my life LeBron face tier. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford. Lamar Jackson, not included. Maybe an argument to be made. He should be. Health issues, decline of the rushing ability, maybe, but you can make the same case for Joe Burrow's health issues. Shouldn't they be on the same tier? I don't know. Not my problem. I didn't make the tier list. Anyway, you move down a couple tiers. We get to the we good tier. So we're under the we good tier, and we're in the we good tier, which includes CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. You know, some questions about what those guys' futures are. Teams haven't signed them to an extension yet. You got Fernando Mendoza / Kirk Cousins, because it's like, well, the Raiders should feel kind of good because they just picked him number one overall, but do they really feel good? We don't know yet. You got rookie quarterbacks from last year, like Jackson Dart and Tyler Shook. Wow. And that's it. Jackson Dart and Tyler Shook are the two rookie quarterbacks, the two second-year quarterbacks they put in this tier. Cam Ward, well, you know what? Let me play the clip, Justin. Let me just play the clip.
All right, we have two interesting ones to close things out. Number one, first, it's Cam Ward entering his second season in the NFL. A lot of positive buzz around Cam, both how he closed the season and in general the direction of the Titans. Mark, you got us going on this one.
I don't know, man. I mean, mm-hmm. I want him to succeed, not just for our friend here and Justin, but it was hard to get a real gauge on who he was last year and on one of the worst teams in all of professional sports. So better coaching, some direction on offense, him growing. Like, I care, this offseason's huge for him, but I don't know anything about him yet. I don't know enough.
Hmm. See, I'm looking at, I think he's a wee dot, dot, dot good, because I look at that category has the likes of Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Fernando Mendoza. And I think that's a spot for him. But once again, Connor gets to decide. Justin has already dropped him into We Good. Now, ignoring the voting rules that we've clearly established over the last 40 minutes, it will be Connor who decides if Cam Ward stays in We Good? Question mark.
I'm going to go, I don't know, man. I back Ceci on this.
Sorry.
How is he not the same category as Shook and Dart? How is he not? He had a better close.
Justin, he played a full season and didn't come close to beating Shuck for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
That's a market media-driven narrative thing. Cam Moore post-bye, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, had a better final stretch of the year while playing the most difficult schedule of the last 20 years in terms of playoff teams face and defense CPA.
Above can't believe this is my life, because that's what I would slot you.
I mean, look, I am not going to, I think the Titans think they're good.
You still haven't moved him yet. F***ing move him. I said,
you are officially the only bald man that is not allowed on my ground.
That is crazy to me that you would put him not next to Chuck and Dart. I mean, they're all three. They all played up and down rookie seasons on terrible teams.
Connor,
and
you will sleep
put up about the same numbers.
It's wild that you can say without a doubt that he's so much better than Aaron Rodgers. And if we're using that same logic, so I mean,
Aaron Rodgers was in the I don't know man tier as well. Justin, what do you think? I mean, are they crazy? Are we crazy? You heard me get pretty impassioned with my pushback.
I think like the we good question mark would have been fair, because he's going into year two. He's coming off an injury. His play obviously, you know, was a little up and down, especially early on in the year, and they're a terrible football team. So I would have understood that. But I don't know, like the lowest tier, to put him in the lowest tier, a tier below. Well,
it's the second lowest tier, but the wait till next year tier ended up being the Cardinals and the Browns quarterback rooms, which we know they're waiting till next year. The other quarterbacks
and
in
so are
I don't know,
Dolphins and the Jets, by the way, they should probably be there too. They're all trying to draft quarterbacks in 2027.
The other quarterbacks that they put him, that this is the level of confidence they have in them this season.
In Cam Ward.
Aaron Rodgers, which is kind of low for Aaron Rodgers, but I guess Aaron Rodgers kind of has fallen off and
really
didn't play
particularly.
Yeah, didn't play super well last year. Daniel Jones, which the lack of confidence comes from the coming off of an Achilles injury and the inability to stay healthy for most of his career. He's only really had two seasons where he like stayed healthy. Geno Smith, Malik Willis, Michael Penix slash Tua Tagovailoa, and Kyler Murray slash JJ McCarthy. That's the tier that they put Cam Ward in. The tier above him that he is does not belong in for some reason. CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shook, Fernando Mendoza slash Kirk Cousins. And my argument was, how can you have more confidence in a player who's never taken an NFL snap in Fernando Mendoza than you have in Cam Ward this season? That's crazy to me. There are environmental factors that were used to argue some of these players are actually better than they performed, or some of them are worse. The environmental factors when it came to Cam Ward, you know, worst head coach in the NFL, insanely difficult schedule, two rookie fourth round picks as his top receivers for most of the year, fired head coach midseason, three different combinations of head coach play caller, like you mentioned. Those factors, totally ignored. So I wonder if PFF is going to say he's our all rookie breakout or not.
Above Tyler Shook and Jackson Dart, by the way.
They literally had the choice between the three of them, and they said, we pick Cam Ward. He has the best chance to break out for real. I don't know, man. I guess think that they're crazy.
What bothers me, and I know that, you know, they'd write this off as biased, whatever.
Yes,
all those teams that you put him next to, in the category you put him next to, would all of them trade for their quarterback situation for Cam Ward? And the answer is a resounding yes. Every single one of them. The Atlanta Falcons, the Miami Dolphins, or whatever, the Minnesota Vikings, whatever, whoever else you mentioned in that category, the New York Jets, all of the Pittsburgh Steelers, all of them they wouldn't blink if they had the opportunity to have Cam Ward as their starting quarterback. And some of the ones in the tier above where he belongs would also do the same.
The Giants tried to, right?
Like, they would take Cam Ward over Jackson Dart, and they would have done so and they would have traded a lot to do it, right? If the Titans had heard them out. So, no, I do think that's kind of crazy. I think Cam Ward, listen, we good, question mark, I get it. But Titans aren't worried about Cam Ward going into the season. They're not sitting around going, I don't know, man. They're going, no, we're good. We're confident that we're good. So,
to be fair, the exercise was, how confident are we in these quarterbacks? Not from the team's perspective, because if it was from the team's perspective, everybody would have been in we good, except for the QB competition teams. But
no, I don't think that's true. I think if you had an honest conversation with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets and the Arizona Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns, like, all those teams want to draft quarterbacks next year. They know they don't have solutions. So I don't think that's true, but it would require an honest conversation, which you would never get out of them. Right. But you know how they look at those quarterbacks based on how bad they want to draft one next year.
But I think the Titans' confidence level in Cam Ward has been shown by how they attack this offseason. Saying, we're going to invest in a receiver at number four. We're going to invest $70 million in a slot receiver for you. We're going to invest in bringing in a former head coach who is one of the top OCs in the league when given that role. And we're gonna do everything we can around you. The only investment you would have liked to see, again, go call Kevin Zeitler. What you doing, Kevin Zeitler? You want to just get us something on, you know, verbal? We don't have to put it on paper yet. We'll let you skip OTAs, but we need somebody to come play right guard. How you feeling about it? The only reason I can think that they haven't done this yet is that they want to see what they have, and that they could potentially view Kevin Zeitler as a progress stopper for a Jackson Slater, who the only way he's going to get better is by playing more, or for one of the rookies they drafted this year. And they don't view themselves as, well, if we just had a right guard solidified here, we're competing for a Super Bowl, so we're willing to take the progress stopper because we're one piece away here. They probably view it as, we want to know if Jackson Slater is our long-term answer at right guard, or if Fernando Carmona is our long-term answer, or whoever. The only way we're going to find that out is to throw them in the fire and see what happens. Now, that's not to say that the fire could just be OTAs, or maybe even a couple of weeks of training camp. And then they're like, okay, this guy is going to get us killed this year. We need to bring in reinforcements. Or they'll be like, yeah, this guy might not be the best right now, but by week 18, is he going to be a top 10 guard in this league? Is he going to be a starting caliber player that we can count on? I think that's why they haven't made another move with Zeitler on the market and other players on the market, Joel Bitonio, there's guys out there that could come in, but I think they just want to see what they have in the young kids.
Yeah, probably the case. I think Jackson Slater and Fernando Carmona specifically, and even Cordell Volson to an extent because he's coming off a season-ending injury where he didn't play at all last year. There might be a, like, let's see where this guy's at because he was once an NFL starter. But this is not the right guard center episode. It is the Cam Ward episode. And yeah, I'm glad we got a chance to respond to that because I do think that's wild. I almost wonder if your presence sometimes, you know, influences them to tease you a little bit and maybe make him sound a little worse than he is. But yeah, the we good question mark category is probably where he belonged. I'll stand on what you said, what I said earlier, and I'll stand on it again. I have the utmost confidence in Cam Ward. I don't know what he's missing. I think he's accurate. He delivers the ball with velocity, zip. He's a natural playmaker. He's athletic enough to use his legs. He's, what's more important is I think he's athletic enough to maneuver the pocket and navigate and avoid those sacks. And obviously the off-platform ability is one of five or six quarterbacks who I think can make those plays in the entire National Football League. Some of the ones that we saw him make as a rookie. And the cherry on top is obviously the character, the work ethic, how bad he wants to be great. His team first attitude, already establishing himself, I think, as a leader in that locker room. I kind of try to look at football players that way, where what are they missing? I don't know what Cam Ward is missing. I think he's got everything you need to, you know, he needs to take that huge, huge step in year two.
So what does he actually need to do to take that step? Because I think that you say, what is he missing? And it's kind of like there's semantics you can argue here, but I think there is consistency with the footwork and consistency with the mechanics of his release. Now, I don't care about the arm slot. You can put your arm wherever you want as long as you can deliver the ball there. I think it's great that he has that ability to change the arm slot based on, you know, if there's defenders in his face or whatever coming at him. But consistently, when there isn't a defender in your face, being a little cleaner with the footwork, get your feet pointed in the right direction so that you don't miss easy throws. Because there were a few times where he could have delivered a more accurate ball. Sometimes it's like it's still catchable, but you're asking a fourth round rookie to make a tough catch versus, well, that's pinpoint right where it's perfectly placed. And you could even see that in the OTA clips. You know, the one to Carnell Tate, the first clip, it's like right at the face mask, right where they teach you to throw that ball. It would have been an A throw based on Brian Callahan's dumb grading system that they used last year. But then the one to Tony Pollard, it's like Pollard kind of has to make a jumping, leaping, outstretched grab, and that one's on air. So like you'd like to see him take the next step by making that in a more accurate pass for Tony Pollard. Now credit Pollard for catching it, but some guys last season might not have caught it. And we saw the issues the Titans had with drops last year. You know, you bring in a Carnell Tate who has the best hands in the draft. You hope to fix some of these drop issues. Maybe it's like contagious. It rubs off on everybody else. The ability to not drop the ball. Maybe that'll help, you know, hit the jugs machine after practice or whatever. But that's the next step. It's just, it's consistency versus ability. We know he has the ability. He just has to do it on a more down-to-down basis, make some of the more routine plays, and then the amazing plays will come. I think Mike Borgonzi was even asked about this recently. He was talking about, you know, you were the GM in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, and now you have this guy, Cam Ward. Like, what's the balance between coaching him to play the system and like execute the system and making those incredible plays? Cause you don't want to take away that ability to make those incredible plays. And Mike Borgonzi said, like, you know, there is a balance and sometimes it's just about knowing when you need the big play. And like, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 times a game, if you need to do something like that, do something like that. But for the most part, you're trying to execute the system. To me, it's like, you know, on 1st and 10 from the 35, you don't try that kind of stuff. But on 3rd and 9 from the 45, you're almost in field goal range and it's 3rd and 9. Like, go make a play, you know, and if you turn it over, if you throw a 30-yard interception and it's down in the other team's point, like you weren't going to score anyway, like it's okay in those instances. But when you need to go make a play, go make the play. Otherwise, execute the offense. I think if he does that, the year two breakout will come to fruition.
I agree with you. And I didn't want to make it sound like he's perfect, right? Like the consistency, I think, especially the mechanics and the footwork are the things that we need to see improve this coming season. But I just meant to say that I certainly, you know, have faith that he's capable of it. They're little things, right? Like it's repetition, getting into a groove, getting into a rhythm. But we've got to see it, right? You can't just assume that it's going to happen. He's got to come back this year with consistency and improved mechanics. That's going to do it for today's episode of the
Music I think my
Audible
final
podcast.
Thought, Justin,
no, I,
on the...
not going to do it. I lied.
I think my final thought on the QB tiers list is I'd be perfectly fine slotting Cam Ward in I Don't Know Man if that's where Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuck also were slotted. But you put those two earlier in the exercise in We Good, and you just have to put Cam Ward in the same tier.
Crazy.
You just have to. It's
Jackson
ridiculous.
Dart was like in the medical tent every game, and they think
how can you be more confident? Crazy. Like you should be the exact same level of confident in all three guys. That's my argument. So the end, Justin.
Totally fair. And I agree, but I agree with PFF. He's got more upside than both of them. If any of them break out this year, he is most likely. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the Tennessee Titans on a lovely Wednesday morning / afternoon. Wherever you are, maybe it's Wednesday night, maybe it's our friends in Australia or the UK, who knows where you are, but you will join us regardless. We appreciate you. We'll be back. Until then, y'all stay safe out there
and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.